Rabbi Lichtenstein once gave a lecture about what causes you to do tshuva. Probably never thought of that. You thought about your sin, you thought about the process of tshuva. Where does it come from? What sparks tshuva? Why is that important? Because sometimes people have a hard time starting the process of tshuva. It's getting close, a couple of days away from Rosh Hashanah. Not that Rosh Hashanah is the day of tshuva, but sometimes you find that you're a minute away from your kippur, and how come I don't feel the motivation? So if you know what to look for, it's much easier to find. And of course, the motivation always affects the texture of the experience. If you know where it's coming from, you can navigate the experience differently. So what causes tshuva? Obviously, there are millions of different factors that cause tshuva. It's different from person to person, from tshuva to tshuva. Rabbi Lichtenstein spoke about two issues. I want to add a third issue. When I say two issues, he took each issue and he subdivided them into six categories. I mean, two categories, and I'll add a third category. The classic concept of tshuva is what I would call, he uses slightly different words, response to tshuva. You're responding to some pressure. Now, that pressure can either be internal. You feel the dirt and the filth of chait. You feel the fear of onesh. You, chas v'shalom, person faces tragedy, sickness, illness, other types of misfortune. At a national level, it could be you face challenges which are meant to trigger tshuva. The famous section we read on Tisha B'Av, ki solid banim uvnei banim, which includes one of the only psukim in the Torah that some Rishonim feel is the source of the mitzvah of tshuva. We talked about this earlier, is there a mitzvah to perform tshuva? Maybe yes, maybe not in terms of a formal mitzvah. But even if there's a formal mitzvah, where's the pasuk? Where's the tzivoy? So many Rishonim point to this pasuk in V'yeschanan, batzar lecha, when you face tzaros, umitzaucha kol advar ma'ila, this is in part of V'yeschanan, b'achris hayamim, and all these terrible challenges and tribulations affect you, v'shavta ad Hashem elokecha v'shamata b'kolo. V'shavta, that's the closest we get possibly to tzivoy. V'shavta ad Hashem elokecha. And the story in Parshas V'yeschanan is clearly tshuva in response to suffering, tshuva in response to hardship. The Gemara says that all the 48 Nevi'im that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent us to chide us, to reprimand us, to castigate us, weren't as effective as one ring. Which ring? Anyone remember? Which ring was the most effective? Achashverosh's ring, when he removed it from his finger and empowered Haman to plan his genocide, all of a sudden, everyone woke up in ways they hadn't awakened throughout the entire first Beis HaMikdash, when all the Nevi'im, Yirmiyah and all of his colleagues, tried to wake the Jewish people from their hypnotic slumber. So one approach to tshuva is you're responding to crisis, personal misfortune, just a general feeling of sin and how sin is decaying and rotten. The second form of tshuva is what I would call, I think Rav Aaron uses similar words, contemplative tshuva. It's where you're not responding to this event or that event, or you're thinking about life, you're thinking about eternity, you're thinking about the purpose of life, especially this year. You become a little more soulful, a little more introspective, and you say, you know what, I have to perform tshuva. Now that contemplation can take two different spirits. One is, you can realize, I'm afar v'efer, I'm mortal, life is futile, rima v'toleya, I better shape up, this is not going anywhere, like we say, Mir Tashem, on davening, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we're like a passing shadow, Kitzel Over, we're like a passing dream, Kechalom Yof. I remember my father, when I would daven next to him, he would always point out how quickly life moves, Kechalom Yof. And I was young, and I had a hard time understanding it. Now I'm a little older, it does feel like a dream. I remember when I was your age, sitting right here, I could tell you where I sat, and it feels like, wait a second, that was yesterday. Yesterday, I was a little boy sitting in Yeshiva Har Tzion. So it really moves very fast. And the other approach is, when you contemplate tshuva, is all my wasted potential, how much I could have accomplished, how much I want to accomplish, not the shiftless Adam, but the godless Adam. Interestingly enough, and Rav Lichtenstein taught us to read Chazal, not just in the black and white obvious way, but to look a little deeper into Chazal, Rav Aaron created a contrast between the first Mishnah and the third Parak of Avos, and the first Mishnah and the second Parak of Avos. The first Mishnah and the third Parak of Avos is a very famous line. We say it at Levayos. Akavya ben Malal el Omer. Akavya ben Malal el taught us, Histakla v'shlosha devarim benata bali devar. What are the three things to contemplate that will deter avera? Dame ayin basa, where you came from. Lanat haholech, where you're headed. And who you'll have to be held accountable in front of. And of course, he offers the answers. some little speck of seed, of dark seed, of if you leave sperm out for, you know, more than X, I'm not a biologist, it'll just get rotten and decayed. So you come from a tipa sucha, which means don't think too highly of yourself. After all your great accomplishments, we're all just a tipa sucha. And what is our future? Rima v'toleh. We're all going to die in the grave and have our bodies decompose. We're all going to have to stand in front of Hashem where there's no excuses and no titles and no reputation and no money. We're just going to have to face Hashem and face the music, as we say in our terms. So that's a very reductive Mishnah, right? This life is passing, meaningless, flimsy, frail, and therefore make sure you make the right decisions. When you look in the beginning of the second parak, it's interesting. Rabbi Danasi says, Histakel b'shlosha devarim. I've never seen people create this parallel. Rav Aaron had a very, very careful eye. And it sounds, if you read it, very similar. But if you read the introduction to it, it's not so similar. So let's first read the core itself. Look at these three things. What's on top of you? What's on top of you? Ayin Ra, an all-seeing eye. Ozen Shamas, an all-hearing ear. And everything is written and recorded and registered. So that sounds a little bit like Akavya ben Malel. Scary, frightening, Hashem scrutinizing you, all your actions, he's hearing everything. But if you read the beginning of the Mishnah, what does Rabbi Nasi say? Ezuhi derech yishara, what's the way to lead life? Kol shehi tiferes li oseha, that it is a glory for Hashem who created you. And a glory for other people that see you. This is not looking at man as futile and nothing and empty. It's a glory to Hashem, and a glory to people, and a glory to... And then he says, by the way, Hashem is recording everything. Why would Hashem record everything that I do? He doesn't record everything a leaf does. He doesn't write down all the decisions of a leaf. He doesn't write down all the decisions of frogs. Because I'm not a frog. I'm not a leaf. I'm a person. I'm still an Elohim. I can create Tiferes. And I'm important enough for Hashem to record my actions because I have free will. And those actions are a product of free will. So Rida Nasi wasn't talking about Shiflas Adam. Rida Nasi, and he was a Nasi. Rida Nasi was talking about Godless Adam. That you can create Tiferes, you can create a world of glory, obviously religious glory, and glorification of Hashem's name. And because of that, Hashem takes your actions very seriously and records them. So your tshuva, Rav Aaron said, could come from either of these two, Da, Lefnei, Miata Omeid, Rekavi Ben Malala, that your life's going to end, you're going to rot in the grave, so you better make the right decisions. Or you're Tiferes Le'oseha, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes an interest in your life and gave you special faculties, and you don't want to waste them. Either way, at this point of the year, you think about why you were moved to Tshuva. The third issue that sometimes moves people to Tshuva, which Rav Aaron didn't talk about, is based on a pasuk you say every day in the David Hashem Ori. I won't elaborate because it's getting a little late, but it's an important pasuk because if you don't think about it, it could be very confusing. It's a very, very grammatically awkward pasuk. Lecha amar libi. My heart tells you. We're telling Hashem. David Melech is telling Hashem. So what is my heart telling you? Bakshu fanai. Now Hashem's talking. My heart tells you, bakshu fanai. Hashem's saying, look for me. And they say, okay, Esperach Hashem, okay, so I'll go for you. So the three different voices in this pasuk. My heart tells you, Lechama Libi. Hashem says, Bakshu Fanai, come look for me. He says, okay, Esperach Hashem, okay, I'll come look for you. Well, what's my heart telling you, Hashem? So Chazal Darshan in the Medrash, that there's this instinct that your heart sometimes has to be Bakshu as Hashem. And who puts that instinct in your heart? Hashem. So Lechama Libi, my heart tells you. And what does my heart say? It repeats the voice that you put into the heart, Bakshu Fanai. Hashem puts that voice into your heart, Bakshu Fanai. You respond to it, Esperach Hashem Avakesh. Sometimes Hashem calls you out in ways that you don't know. He puts a little instinct into your heart. A lot of people don't bring Hashem into the tshuva process enough. Sometimes Hashem is davening with you. Sometimes Hashem is performing tshuva for you, helping you. Umaltem is our last levavchem. And we ask Hashem, Umal Hashem, Umalkechas levavcha. He helps you find him. So, the instinct for tshuva, when you suddenly awake, you have to do tshuva, could be Hashem tugging at your heartstrings and saying, Bakshu Fanai, come closer to me. So I say, Lecha Amar Libi, my heart tells you, Hashem, I hear the voice that you put into my heart, Bakshu Fanai, I hear that voice, Esperecha, Hashem Avakesh. Those are the three different incentives for tshuva. It could be the external response of tshuva, it could be contemplative, introspective tshuva. It could be tshuva driven by an instinct that Hashem instills in your heart to try to draw you closer, because in the end of the day, He wants you to be close to Him in many ways more than we are able to generate that desire to be close to Him. And this is a drama on two different sides of the tunnel. We're tunneling to Hashem and He's tunneling to us. Okay, have a good day, everyone. Have a good day. Remember, Thursday is Rashi, tomorrow is